And let us bow our heads and pray. And we'll be coming today to a passage which is moderately difficult. We pray that by the grace and power of your Holy Spirit, you would light up our minds that we may understand what we read. And we pray that you will apply it to our lives. That it might make a difference to us and bring glory to you. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, I want to start with a not controversial statement. A not controversial statement. As quite often in the pulpit, I find myself making statements which might be regarded as somewhat confidential. What's the word I had? Controversial. Controversial, that's right. In some ways, it's a bit of a relief to be making a not controversial statement. So what I'm about to say will not raise hackles or create heat. It will not make me accused of being non-PC or investigated for hate speech. It will not lead to anybody leaving as they hear what I'm saying or writing a letter of complaint afterwards. You may say, well, what exactly is this statement? What statement are you wanting to make? Well, I'll tell you. It concerns a practical problem, and it is to do with how the church is run. I think those probably are my hints. And essentially, this statement is this. The Christian faith and the life of church should be kind and loving. So, church life and the individual Christian should be kind and loving. This is a practical point. As we've seen from this chapter and some of the things that are said within the chapter, the application, the point is that there are deep truths of the faith here, but what we have to see is how they are applied practically. As the Bible says, be doers of the word and not hearers only. Now, one aspect of which they were particularly aware in the early church was the care of widows. The care of widows. This was quite a problem for them in practical terms, right from the start. So in Acts chapter 6, don't turn to this, but I'll read you chapter 6, verse 1. In those days, when the number of disciples was increasing, the Grecian Jews among them complained against the Hebraic Jews because their widows were being overlooked in the daily distribution of food. So right at the beginning, this practical problem raises its head in the earliest church, and it's a practical problem, and it's all tied up with the widows. Now, I do want to say, incidentally, before I go any further, we do love our widows. I do think this is important. The thing about a passage like this, you can get some people saying, well, you were rather anti-widows one way or another. I don't want to be anti-widows at all. We love them. That's very important. But we need to know what is going on here. Why was it becoming a problem? Why did it become a problem in the earliest days? And why did Paul, as he wrote this letter to Timothy, feel that he needed to spend time, in fact about 16 verses, talking about this to him? Why were there so many widows? We don't know, of course, do we? Perhaps they were converted more readily than the men. It is true, is it not, that very often the dear ladies who are widows will respond more quickly to the gospel than some of the men. And there is connected with this the Old Testament concern for the people of God that they should take care of the widows and the fatherless. And there's also the New Testament command. The command to visit widows in their affliction. Let me just get this right from James chapter 1. We religion that God our Father accepts as pure and faultless is this: to look after the orphans and widows in their distress and to keep himself from being polluted by the world. So bearing in mind that command there in James's letter, we would expect when Paul comes to the subject of widows in 1 Timothy that he's going to give him a bit of a beefing up. He's going to say, come on, Timothy, you've got to make sure that more effort is being made in the care of widows. There's a lot of work to do for the widows, and you need to make sure that people are doing it. Care for widows. A caring church. That's my non-controversial statement. The church should be a caring church. However, what is surprising about this passage in 1 Timothy 5 is this: that actually we find that the apostle spends more airspace telling him not to care for certain kinds of widows than he does telling him to care for widows. So yes, the church should be a caring place, I want to go on emphasizing that, but the fact is it cannot care for everybody in an unreserved way. So here are some of the widows that Timothy is told he is not to arrange care for. Verse 4, the widow who has children. But if a widow has children or grandchildren, these should learn, first of all, to put their religion into practice by caring for their own family, and so repaying their parents and God and grandparents. That's what the family should do. They should look after the widow. So one that he's told not to care for is the widow who has children. Another one is the widow who lives for pleasure. This is a bit of a powerful verse 6. But the widow who lives for pleasure is dead even while she lives. Here's another one who he's not to care for. That is the widow under 60 years of age. Well, that's pretty tricky, isn't it? I mean, we don't want to offend people by suggesting they might be over 60 years of age, but of course if they are over 60 years of age, then they can't get the care, you see. It's for those who are under 60 years of age. Here's another, verse 11. This is the widow who wants to marry, basically a younger widow. Don't put the younger widows on this list of those you're going to care for. For when their sensual desires overcome their dedication to Christ, they want to marry, and thus they bring judgment on themselves. Nowhere is Paul against marriage, by the way. It simply is that if they want to marry when they previously dedicated themselves to be on this list, then that's going to cause a contradiction in their lives. There's one more. This one I read out with trepidation. Verses 12 and further on. So 13. Besides this, they get into the habit, this is the younger widows, they get into the habit of being idle and going about from house to house. And not only do they become idlers, but gossips and busybodies, saying things they ought not to. Well, Paul wrote this, it wasn't me. Paul wrote it. So there we are. There are a whole lot of people that he shouldn't care for. We love our widows in general. We want care for them to be appropriate and right. But the sort of care that is involved with this list, which I'm going to talk about now, that cannot be made available to those categories of widows that I've just read out. Now, the main point about this for us, in terms of what are we going to get from this, what are we going to take home this morning for this? I mean, it may well be that we have a widow in the family and we're not looking after her properly, and we ought to be. That may well be what we may find ourselves taking home from this. Or we may find the way in which Paul instructs Timothy to take practical care And the way in which the church is to be run involving a lot of practical activity. That may be what we find ourselves taking home, or it may be both. Right, so first of all then, first heading is the true widow. Now, this means a widow in her actual circumstances. Not just on her tax return or her passport. Not sure whether that does state she's a widow or not. Anyway, some document that says she's a widow. If that says she's a widow. Of course she's a widow if it says it. But you see, she may not really be a widow. You say, what are you talking about? Well, the way Paul puts it actually is not quite like widows who are really in need, but widows who are real widows. In other words, you expect, or you expected in those days, you expected the widow to be poor and lacking in resources. That's what the widow would generally have been. There wouldn't have been social security and all that sort of thing. So those who are in that situation, and if they are of the appropriate age, then they should be cared for by the church. But not if they're wealthy. Then you see they're not a widow in that sense. Nor if they have family. We looked at verse 5. I meant verse 4. And rather, they should be those who show a dependence upon God. So there are spiritual characteristics in the life of the widow that you've got to be looking for if we're going to give practical provision to her. So verse 5 says, the widow who is really in need, or who is a real widow, you'll find the ESV says that, the real widow is left all alone and puts her hope in God and continues night and day to pray and to ask God for help. So you see, that's the sort of characteristics that we should be looking for in the widow that the church is to take care of. Of course, all this does involve making distinctions, which is something I think we don't like very much. We don't want to enter into judgment of people. Of course we don't. But there's got to be distinguishing if we are to give assistance to the right people. A practical solution demands a judgment to practically make a decision. Now, there's pretty strong language here. I mean, we've seen it already about the widow who lives for pleasure. She's dead even while she lives. Then verse 7, command and teach these things. Verse 7, give the people these instructions too. Now, again, that's not terribly satisfactory. I mean, we know what we do with instructions, don't we? You know, you've been to town, you've got that latest gadget, or what do we call it? Gadget or device. You've got a device, and you want to get home. You can't wait to make it work. So you rip off the covering on the box, and you immediately set it up. And you, in the process, of course, you see this piece of paper that says instructions. And you think, oh, we don't want to bother with that. And you just put it straight in the bin. Haven't we all done this? And then found it didn't really work after all. Oh dear, so it's not just instructions that you and I might throw away. No, Timothy is to command. In chapter 4, verse 11, it says, command and teach these things. Here it says in verse 7, command these things too, so that no one may be open to blame. And then verse 8, look at this verse 8. This is a very powerful verse, this. If anyone, that's talking to any church member, okay? If anyone does not provide for his relatives, and especially for his immediate family, he has denied the faith and is worse than an unbeliever. Phew. It's a pretty strong statement, isn't it, from the apostle? And that's what he's saying. If we ignore the command to look after widows within our own family, it's tantamount to denying the faith. Why such strong language? Well, because When it comes to practical problems in church life, we often find that feelings run high. It's quite understandable. We care about what's going on, about how things are going to be arranged. But a practical solution to problems of this kind demands obedience to the word of God. And therefore he says, look, you must understand that if people don't do this, this isn't just a human command. This is from God himself. And to deny this, or to refuse to obey it, is to deny the faith and be worse than an unbeliever. So first thing then was the true widow. Second, the list. Now you may well have thought, what on earth is this list? Verse 9. No widow may be put on the list of widows unless she is over 60, being faithful to her husband, and so on. Well, we don't know the details of it, but evidently it was some kind of register on which people's names would be put. The widow would be enrolled so that she would receive practical support, and this is the important thing to see, and she would render practical service. This widow, you see, was not going to be an idler or a gossip or a busybody. She was going to be active, going about serving the Lord, doing the things that were needed for the church of his people. And so there is a commitment to lifelong service. Hence, only the elder can make this commitment, can't they? Only the elder can do that. I mean, he's perfectly right when he says that the younger widow may well find another 5 years down the track she wants to get married. And he said, I'm not saying there's anything wrong with that. But the point is, if she's going to want to get married, it's very unwise to put her on a register that says that actually she won't get married, she will be committed to the care of the church. So don't put a younger widow on the list. That's basically what he means with regard to this register or list. Because to turn back from the commitment previously made is to bring judgment on oneself, verse 12. Thus they bring judgment on themselves because they've broken their first pledge. Because their first pledge was to serve the Lord in accordance with the requirements of this particular list. So Timothy, refuse to enroll younger widows. Again, that's strong language. This is, again, the English Standard Version. Refuse to enroll. And that would be difficult for him sometimes. I mean, just imagine the pressure coming from some family members. Oh, come on, Timothy. We want to put Jemima on the list. Oh, we'll call her Aunt Jemima. She is old. But she's not old enough. She's not 60. She might only be 42. And you're saying you want me to put her on the list. But Timothy is saying, no, the Apostle Paul says refuse to enroll Jemima because she's only 42. And if you do enroll her, you'll get problems down the line. And then that family is so annoyed. We won't come to church for 6 months. And there's all sorts of feeling and going on about it. And we understand it. I mean, it would have been a wonderful solution for them if Jemima could just have been on the list. And they wouldn't have had to do anything more about it. The only thing is that that is not the way the church is to run. Indeed, those who are to be on the list, as well as their age, they are to be people in whom the Lord's grace has been at work. Look at verse 9. No widow may be put on the list. Oh, sorry, I've read that. Verse 10. And she is well known for her good deeds, such as bringing up children, showing hospitality, washing the feet of the saints, helping those in trouble, and devoting herself to all kinds of good deeds. There's a character factor as well as an age factor. Therefore, those who will be widows one day, you need to realize this, that character, the character of the widow, is very important. And the character of the widow is built on the character of the young person, and the character of the young person is built on the, well, teenager, whatever. Character matters all along the line. So, that was something on the list. Final section is the younger widow. And that slightly surprised me because I thought I'd been talking about her. But anyway, we'll see how we go. The younger widow, if we look at verse 13, it says, besides, they get into the habit of being idle and going about from house to house. Not only do they become idlers, but also gossips and busybodies, saying things they ought not to. So I counsel younger widows to marry, to have children, to manage their homes, and to give the enemy no opportunity for slander. Some have already turned away to follow Satan. So he sees this whole situation, even though it's a practical problem, he sees it essentially in terms of the spiritual battle. The fact is, there are real factors involved in this, which are not just about lists and registers and writing your name, and don't forget, please, to put your name on that list later on, at the back there for Mission Sunday. But it's not just about names on lists. It is about the spiritual warfare that that church, as every true church, is involved in. And if he gets the wrong solution, then these younger widows will not commend the gospel and they will not commend the church. They will be idle and go about from house to house, become gossips and so forth. We all realize those things are wrong. Well, they are a danger, you see, for a younger widow. So he says, I counsel younger widows to marry. There's one question I do want to ask the Apostle Paul when I get to heaven, and that is, in this situation, where were they to get their husbands from? I mean, evidently, there are a large number, there's a majority of widows, for whatever reason, perhaps there'd been a famine or a warfare or something. And so there's a large number. There are more widows than there are young men to marry them. So exactly what the practical outcome of this would have been, I'm not sure. But anyway, that should be the target. They should marry and have children and manage their homes and give the enemy no opportunity for slander. Because if they don't do that, then the way they're living may indeed lead to adverse spiritual consequences. So, Timothy, the care of widows is a practical problem, but it needs a lot of care. Slander, the slander of the people of God, is highly unhelpful. You saw it there in verse 14, give the enemy no opportunity for slander. It's also there in verse 7, give the people these instructions too, so that no one may be open to blame or slander. And the concern, you see, in verse 15, some have already turned away to follow Satan, is telling him that this situation is one which will be affected by whether these women give themselves to the work of the Lord or instead just go backwards spiritually and land up following following the ways of Satan. That obviously would be a disaster. But if you administer the church wisely, Timothy, then the church will run well. And this practical solution will keep the problem within manageable limits, which we see in verse 16 in the conclusion. Verse 16, which is very similar to verse 4. You've got a sort of beginning and end, which are the, as it were, the brackets of this passage, and they are very closely similar. If a widow has children or grandchildren, they should learn first of all to put their religion into practice in verse 4, and then in verse 16, if any woman who is a believer has widows in her family, she should help them and not let the church be burdened with them, so that the church can help those widows who are really in need. Let's bow our heads and reflect, and then I'll pray. Oh Lord, we give you thanks for this passage, one in some ways difficult, and yet in many ways practical. We do ask that you would so work in our lives that we might have your grace and wisdom to deal with practical matters well in church life, and so to bring glory and praise to your name. Amen.